The text for the sermon today is the gospel lesson, but especially the middle of verse 7. You brood of vipers. That's where we start. You brood of vipers. Not terribly polite, is that? Brood of vipers. Where's that come from? And where that comes from is the images from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 3. A viper is a snake, and we remember that old serpent, the devil, who lured Adam and Eve into sin. And guess what? We carry some of that image, don't we? It's John the Baptist days. John the Baptist didn't let his hearers off the hook. He was very pointed. In fact, he named their sins, made them very uncomfortable indeed. I thought we'd do this with a little bit of good humor, so I brought in something that when I look at the members of the congregation through this, you know what I see? What I see is the worst sinner in the entire history of the world. Let me test that out. Okay?
Good start.
Definitely. The worst sinner I know about in the whole history of the world. Lacking in faith, wandering off from God, from God's word, from God's ways, day by day, falling down completely in the walk of a Christian, just no redeeming value whatsoever, and deserving nothing but eternal judgment.
We haven't known him that long.
Have you seen what I'm looking at in this?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Would you like to see for yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I see now.
Yeah. A mirror. Okay. There is a point here, and it goes to several different levels. One is, and look at others in this glass, and you will see their sin. Absolutely. We're very good at making lists of other people's sins, aren't we? Oh, it's a huge list we could make. You know what they did last week? You know what they did last year? And, I've known them for a long time, and you should, the stories I could tell. But when you do that, whose sin are you actually looking at? Exactly. Your own. Second way of looking at this is, it is very true that when you look at somebody else, to look at their sin, to count their sin, to enumerate their sin, you are counting, enumerating, naming, and looking at nothing else than your own sin. Because we share this sinful nature. It runs all through us. And when we look at each other, we see ourselves. That's a simple idea. I can say this without any fear of losing any argument on this point ever. That I can say to any of us, if you look inside at the sins of your old sinful nature, you will see exactly the sins that are in the life of the worst sinner in the history of the world. They may be coming to the surface in a slightly different pattern, but down inside there is nothing different. No difference between mild sinful nature and a fellow who is in prison for murder or some other horrible crime. No difference. Left to its own devices, mild sinful nature would lead me completely down that road, and I would, in not too much time, find myself in the same situation, in the same condition. There is no difference. But then, also, when I look at somebody else's sin, whoever it is, Jenny, Don, same sin. All of it's there. Same sin. Because there's that mirror. Frankly, we are mirrors for each other. And if I want to understand my sin, all I have to do is look around me at the whole world. If I want to understand others' sins, well, looking in the glass, seeing other people's sin, it's lived out in me. We're all in this together. Or as my mom said, stuff them all in a bag, shake them up, and pull them out. No difference. She had four boys. You understand, right? Okay, so there's that level. And John the Baptist comes along, and he preaches the sins of the world. Guess whose sins he's preaching? His own. Which means, if he understands that part, he can be a really effective preacher of the sins of the world. Or as Martin Luther said, you want to catch everybody with the law? What you do is you take your own sinful old Adam, sit him down in the first pew, and you start preaching at him and naming his sins, and you will hit everybody else as well. Here comes the next part. So what do you do with sins? What do you do with sins? What do you do with your own sins? Bring them before the cross. Lay them before God. Don't try and cover them up or hide them. Bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ and watch as God takes away the sin of the world. As Jesus takes the sin on him and carries it off to his cross and there suffers and dies in your place. The one who, you know, if he looked in the mirror, would see nothing else than the spotless Lamb of God with no sin whatsoever. But he takes our place on the cross to suffer in our place, to be judged in our place, to suffer and die in our place, to have that judgment of God poured out on him. So it actually becomes pretty good preaching to say that there on the cross on Good Friday, that was Judgment Day, where the whole world is judged in one man, and the whole world then forgiven because of that one man. And so, with our sins, we bring them before God. Don't hide them, because we know what God does with sins in Jesus Christ, what his preference is to do with sins for the whole world, and that is to wash them away and remove them and take them as far away from us as east is from west, to throw them into the depths of the ocean and have them forgotten completely. What then do we do with others' sins? If that's what we do with sins, what do we do with others' sins? Well, the appropriate thing to do with others' sins before the cross of Jesus Christ, and let them be forgiven, and let them be thrown away as far as east is from west, and be done about it because of Jesus Christ. But now it has come time to bring back the mirror. and to put a completely different twist on this. Because there is somebody who can actually look at you or look at me, and looking at us, see nothing else than holiness, sinlessness, a spotless life lived in perfect faith. How's that happen? Well, who is that that can look at us and see us in that way? Through this. See, when Jesus holds up the mirror in front of our lives, guess what he sees? He sees himself. Himself, his life, his holiness. And there we have tapped into one of the great streams of God's grace and mercy that runs through the Bible, that talks about us as clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Faultless, redeemed, holy, to stand before the throne. And there on Judgment Day, Jesus Christ, the judge of all, will look at us, and because of what he has done, he will see himself. He will see his cross in our lives, the forgiveness that he gave to us, his blood covering us, the robe of his righteousness. He will see all of these things. And then it makes sense for him to look at us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Right? That explains that mystery. Because if I thought he was looking at me and me alone, that wouldn't make sense. But he is looking at me with himself in my life, and his holiness clothing me. And then he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." And I may stand there and say, "What? How can that be?" But it is not because of me. It is because of my Lord Jesus that that happens. Now, knowing that God looks at you in that way, it changes everything. And you and I, we can say, "But we didn't deserve this. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We can't show ourselves worthy of it even after it's given to us. It's a free gift from God, and it's poured out on us. All of the blessings for all eternity." What do we do with that? We thank and praise God, and it's received as a gift, and then we love and we adore our Savior and let our whole lives before him, because his life was for us. That too is a mirror. Let our lives before him, because his life was for us. In Jesus' name, amen.